Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, poet Michael Toper. Michael, who have been the poets that you most admire or who have influenced your writing?
Gwyn, when I first began to write poetry in middle adolescence, I was drawn to the shorter lyrical poems of Robertson Jeffers. I don't think he's a well-known poet, but he was a poet in the early to mid-century who wrote eloquently about the natural world apart from man. He lived in Carmel and Big Sur, California, and actually built a stone house on the mountain, and as well as a structure called Tor House. One of his very short poems entitled Joy contained a line that particularly struck me and has stayed with me. Robinson wrote, "Not for joy the stars burn." And I've always had that burned into my memory bank. However, my favorite poet, without question, is W.S. Merwin, who writes poems about nature that are hypnotic and detached, almost dreamlike and devoid of punctuation. I've been reading, he's a prolific writer, and I've been reading his work for many, many years. Next, but not least, is Pablo Neruda, who I feel not only is the great Chilean poet, I think he is by far the greatest poet of the 20th century. His love poems, as contained in his book 100 Sonnets, have been inspirational to me. Lastly is Jane Kenyon, an American poet who was married to Donald Hall, the poet and author who died tragically, Jane, in her late 40s from leukemia. I have corresponded with Donald a few times over the years and found out I share at least three attributes with Jane Kenyon. We were both born in 1947, we were both born in Ann Arbor, and we have both suffered from depression throughout our lives. Donald Hall said he thought there was something in the water in Ann Arbor back in 1947. In particular, I've enjoyed how Jane wrote about ordinary life and objects and the truths therein.
Yeah, I think that makes for good poetry every time because it's what readers can hold on to, too. They recognize themselves in those poems.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Gwyn.
Yeah. When you write a poem, do you write for an audience or do you write for Michael or who do you write for?
I will answer this honestly. I write primarily for myself, but obviously share poems with family and friends, and I've had some poems published here and there over the years. For me, I hope it doesn't sound corny, but I think writing poetry is a voyage of self-discovery, and that I have found that writing poetry, personally, has been a powerful treatment for my own depressive feelings. The creative act, I have found, is a way to confront the emotional demons in one's life, and in those skirmishes, attempt to bring forth a sense of calm and well-being. My personal enjoyment is to see a well-written poem that I find personally satisfying. And I still have a few poems written long ago that are still enjoyable.
So in your collection, Unfinished Business, are the poems in there from a particular time in your life?
Well, even though I started writing in my mid-teens and so have written for over 50 years, and some are written from more than 30 years ago, I'd say about half the book was written in the last 10 years. If you said, what themes do I incorporate? I have a particular interest in the universe, the mystery of creation. As a child, I used to lie awake and thought to myself, where is the universe located, and what's on its outside? I'm still perplexed by those questions.
That would be a great title for your next collection. What's on the south side?
Thank you very much. I'm also very interested in the perception of time and consciousness. The older I get, the more I realize that I think we best experience our life in peak moments I think that's where we truly live and have our existence. An obscure Argentinian poet, Antonio Porcia, has a lovely line that obviously at my age I understand now what it means. He says, one lives in hope of becoming a memory.
I like that, yeah.
I also have poems obviously about my family history. And when we get to reading, the number of poems are love poems written for my wife of 38 years, Frances, who in fact edited this collection. I often thought that a poem was done, but she often said, I don't think so. We're still together after the experience of her editing, and I just want to say the steadfastness of her affection has been a great blessing in my life.
Well, I'm really looking forward to reading the collection. It sounds wonderful. Perhaps you could read a few poems for us?
Yeah. The first poem was something I worked on feverishly for several weeks. I took my wife on her second date to an open mic poetry reading at Harborfront. And I had spent 3 weeks writing this poem for her. And so I was going to be very anxious to hear her reaction. As I got up to read the poem, I was horrified to see that my wife started talking to a man in the next row who was a fellow student at Trent University. So I realized that when I read this poem, she was paying no attention whatsoever. But the poem is called Disclosure in Late September. Lady of brown amber eyes, for wanting to decipher more than their terrain, my heart asks to be forgiven. You are a splendid geometry of perpetual brightness, what the day-blind stars reveal to the unkempt poor in me. I wish to be forever falling into your unsteady face, into the illuminated manuscript of your smile, copied diligently by monks in a medieval Latin not now understood. My vagrant words are no map to your loveliness that, like the moon, leaves no scent behind. And I want to read a poem where my wife was a captive audience at our wedding. It's the title poem of the book, Unfinished Business. That the blood is fiery baggage, that ground must eventually smooth us down under its large hooped skirt. These the rife mysteries tonight. Awaken me to your face, a doorway just ajar. I want always to your bright animal eyes and the fierce softness behind attend. Under night slopes, the drowsy liquid moon. Let us learn to walk on air, hold hands, and vanish together. I am in your keeping until then.
Oh, lovely.
And I've got a couple more that are actually personal favorites that I would enjoy reading, Gwen. Twilight. When I remember the aurora borealis in your kiss, momentarily lighting up my skin's horizon, I wish to go and hide behind your eyes, two dark touchstones that glitter and widen, like the encroachment of night putting out its branches. I want to find the small star, mistaken for an insect that shimmers under the catalpa leaf. I want you to tell me it is okay to drift off, to be alive, and then to disappear. And one poem, Simplicity Speaks, it was written a couple of years ago, and I think it actually represents my life philosophy, and I don't know where this poem comes from, but I'm shocked in the fact that what I'm going to read came out without any editing at all. It's called Simplicity Speaks. Live sparsely so that the mind can stand clear. Remember, objects and glitter provide no sustenance. Find courage to persevere when cold winds and wolves befriend your domicile. Be not resistant to fate, for it is the journey assigned to you. Enter yourself often with a hymnal of flame. Be forged anew on the smithy's anvil. Extend great kindness toward people, for the dark burden on their backs may not at first be visible. Abandon the need for adoration and praise from others. All words fray in the wind. Spend time in the presence of animals, for theirs is truly an ancient kingdom of unheralded wisdom. Forage for love always. You may be surprised under what stones and in whose eyes it waits.
Yep.
And if I could just read one more, called Kindness. There's an ancient luminous language that shines in your diminutive fingers, whose generosity of touch is everywhere, like the breath of first chlorophyll on the primordial earth. It is most strange that we came to flower from billions of cosmic improbabilities. The patient shuffling of the random blocks of carbon. All life was multiple and set adrift. But who built the intricate tower of your kindness with its tapestry of quiet lightning that has set up shop in my heart? I cannot get you out. You are the fire inside the bones that Jeremiah found. After you, perhaps idleness is the only world the tongue wants to dwell in.
Well, food for thought, definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Michael. We've been listening to Michael Toper, a local poet. Michael, where can listeners buy your book, or your collection rather, Unfinished Business?
Thank you for asking that, Gwen. My company, Green Oaks Educational Services, has underwritten the printing of this volume, and people should email me at greenoaks2@yahoo.com for details about how to purchase the book.
Great. Thanks very much.
I want to thank you, Gwen, as well as Felicity, for the privilege of being here today on your show and reading poems from my just-published book, Unfinished Business.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us here at the program, you can visit our website, wordonthehills.com, and leave your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs right there at the website. Also at the website, you will find all our prior programs archived so that you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week, right here on Northumberland 897, truly local radio.